Today we're talking about healing the unhealthy relationship many of us have with food. We often view foods as good or bad, we use food as a crutch, turning to it to support our emotions only to suffer feelings of guilt. Welcome to the Lavoni and Sarah Health and Wellness Podcast. I'm Lavoni.
And I'm Sarah. What about the negative self-talk we bestow on ourselves when it comes to eating, or the times we think we can reward ourselves with food? How many times have you tried dieting only to be faced with the feelings of the deprivation we think will be the answer to weight loss? Can we combat this love-hate relationship with food? Stay tuned as we delve into this interesting, multifaceted subject and share our stories.
Last week's episode, we talked about dopamine, which I thought was a fascinating subject. Both of us are keen to explore a bit further because it was a bit of a short episode because of my work. Sarah set a two-week challenge for us. So, Sarah, can you give us a quick recap?
Yeah, so recap.
What that challenge is,
the
please?
Challenge was to give yourself a mark out of five on how you are currently feeling and be honest around some of the lifestyle markers, which were sleep, food, rest, and organization. And all of these things were, as we discussed, dopamine regulators. So once we have that score, we then have a look at how can we make small improvements to each of those areas. And then we were going to mark ourselves again in 2 weeks' time. Did you want to
mine's
have
a bit
quick share about where you are right now?
oh mine's just sad. Apart from the organization, I gave myself a four for that.
That's very
Almost
good.
a five.
Yeah.
A four for that. And pretty much everything else scored a food was three. Everything else was one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about that is you've got a place to go. You've got
Right.
room for improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you've got another
Yeah.
week.
What about you? Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of mine was really good. There are some, the two things I could definitely get better were my food could have got better. And my sleep could have got better. So I have started to implement changes.
Right. I think my water, I think I gave myself a two for water.
Actually, you're right. My water's not great either. Okay, now
Yeah.
you're just pulling it apart. I was all right, but apparently no, I'm not.
I find when I'm on these big shoots, it's a bad thing to do, but the loo is a hike from the studio that I'm in. And so I just tend to hang
Don't
on,
go.
and then you just don't, yeah, or you're just so busy that you just don't drink.
Yeah.
Whereas at home, I try and do it like, you know, regularly, like
Regularly.
every
Yeah.
hour, I make sure I scull. So we're pretty good at reminding each other on the shoot. Okay, have you drunk water today?
Yeah.
So yeah, but still only a
No, I
two.
definitely could get
Maybe could
better.
have squeaked in a three, but you know, sleep and rest are just, they're both ones. Anyway,
If only we all just
today.
lived on some sort of island, it'd be perfect, wouldn't
Oh
it? Just
God,
like.
I don't know. Yeah. Or just were independently wealthy and didn't have to work your ass off all the time. We just do craft things.
Yes, like me.
Sarah's been doing craft things. I don't know when she gets the time. But you know, we were saying it's good to, but it's good. That's like part of
I
just
enjoy it. Yeah, I
good
enjoy it.
mental
And
break.
I just make sure I only do it in small chunks. It's not like I'm sat there for hours at a time. But anyway,
Right.
yes, I do.
Yeah, no. So what does an unhealthy relationship with food look like? So I think that this is, you know, this is me. If you feel out of control around food, stressed about your eating habits, me, all the time, every day, right? Even if they're good, I still stress about them.
Do you?
Or a lot of guilt and shame. I do feel guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Towards your eating choices, you might have an unhealthy relationship with food. If you think about it constantly, I mean, I have to think about food for my work, but I
Yeah.
think about it also for me, you
Right.
know, my well-being. So that's, you know, basically what an unhealthy relationship with food, in a nutshell. There's more to it, you know. And then, you know, I've broken it down a bit, but it can contribute to your mental, physical, and just overall well-being. When something consumes you that much, it's like being angry at someone or being a victim about something. When it consumes you, it's not healthy, is
No,
it?
well, it's not balanced,
No.
is it? No.
No, and I think that it consumes me, not as much as it did, because I've kind of stopped doing the whole, I'm not going to eat this, I'm not going to eat that, and just a crazy dieting, you know. I've just gone, no, there's nothing off limits. So it's not as bad,
The
but I'm a
thing
work in
is,
progress.
I don't know if this is a bit sort of challenging or not really, but my point I want to drop in for us to talk about is it's not really the food
Right.
at all, is it? If
No, it's the emotion.
food is not the enemy, and actually it wouldn't matter what the food is. And the point, I guess, and I've thought about this a lot this week, is if I blitzed down the food that I am turning to into some sort of gloopy soup and then said, okay, now you can have it like that, but like, well, I don't want it. So
No.
it's not a satisfaction of having the food in my stomach. It's not even the flavor, because the flavor would be the same, okay? It's obviously the process of eating, for me anyway. I can only talk about my experience. It's the process of having the food in my mouth, chewing it, and then it making me feel a certain way when it goes down. Now, it can go through a sort of transition of feelings when you're doing that. It goes from probably that urgency that you feel when you want to go and have it, particularly if you're in a binge cycle. It
The
can go,
anticipation, that's the like the
it can go
anticipation, the
through the
dopamine.
enjoyment, if you enjoy it even when you're eating it. Sometimes that's not even the case, through to then the regret, or some of the feelings that you've described, the guilt,
Guilt.
the disappointment, there's a whole raft of emotions that then come with it. But none of it ever is the actual food itself, because
Right,
food
right.
is an enjoyable thing. It's there to give
Right.
us sustenance, it's there to give us nutrients, it's there to keep us alive. Okay, so the bare minimum of what we need, and we could still have the bare minimum and enjoy it, because it could be flavorful, it could be something which is to look forward to. So all of these things that we're going to talk around the association with is actually, and as you sort of alluded to in our intro, is it's a crutch. It's something for people. This is people that have a negative relationship with food. People that don't
Right.
have a negative relationship with food,
Probably scrolled on past this episode.
is not they're not interested in what we've got
Yeah.
to say, or they are because
No.
they're interested on the other side. That's great. However, we are talking to people. We're also not talking to people that have an eating disorder, because that's something
No.
different again. And
Whole different thing.
anyone that finds themselves either heading towards that situation or in that situation should get medical support and medical advice. So again,
Exactly.
sorry, but this is not the episode for you. So that's parked
Right.
as well. We're talking about people like you and I that have a poor relationship with food, but actually you could remove the word food and put anything else in there that's causing
Yeah.
a crutch. So we could be reliant on alcohol, we could be reliant on drug, anything. And so now we need to then say, have these discussions around these things about what it is that we're feeling and why with that crutch, because the end result for you and I is that we are overeating in whatever capacity that is. I think we probably do it differently, you and I, the way that we overeat, but ultimately the point is we overeat because otherwise we wouldn't be overweight, and that's just a harsh reality of this. So the result that everyone can see is the fact that we're overweight. The reasons behind that may be the same, may be different for everybody else. But and I have, yeah, I've got lots of things to add, but that's the thing I think is really important for people to get to the
Oh,
nub of, isn't it? It's the fact
yeah.
that this is a crutch, this is not a food issue.
Right. And it and I've said this before on multiple episodes. Anybody can go on a diet and lose weight, but if they haven't dealt with the reason why they put it on to begin with, the emotional aspect, then they're just going to put it all back on again. Or if they think so, it has a start and an end point. I used to think that whole lifestyle thing, that just sounds so like cliched and just so overused. But it's so true, though.
It is
Whatever
true.
you're doing, it has to be sustainable. And that's something you was, you know, and just what listening to you talk, then something I have written down is that you eat mindlessly and, you know, not understanding your body's cues. And I think becoming aware of your eating habits and aware that you're doing it, or why, or ask yourself, Why am I doing it? And I've talked about this before. When the day my mum passed away, I remember I was standing and I went in and I was standing at the kitchen sink and I couldn't tell you what I was eating. I mean, you know, I don't keep like what is considered
Junk
junk food, but
food,
I just
yeah.
don't, you know, keep like chocolate and things like that because I like chocolate in the house. That's also something else I want to talk about. But I was standing at the sink and I was just eating. And then I was like, oh God, you know, stop. You're eating because you're upset. But then when John died, when my father died, just not long after that was like mum's, we knew his came suddenly. And that was the opposite. I felt like I'd been gut punched and I didn't want to eat. But if years ago, but before I moved, you know, from Australia to Canada, if somebody had said to me that I was an emotional eater, I would have gone, no, I'm not. But it wasn't until I was suddenly taken out of that environment that I had known my whole life and in a totally different country, and then moved from country to country, state to state. And I've said before, each time I moved, I put on more weight. Looking back now on it, I can see why. That was my emotional buffer, I think, my comfort
You
thing.
see, I always thought that too, and I always thought that emotional eating was because you were just it was your reaction. So you feel a certain thing and you react and you turn to food. I'm starting to feel a little and think a little bit differently, and I have been reading a completely independent book from this, but it's and I'm only very at the beginning, but it started to make me think a little differently in as far as it's not actually an emotional eating where I sort of think, oh, well, that's what I need and that's what I want. What I think is happening is that two things. Number one, we have a gap that needs a void that needs to be filled. So in the loss that you felt with the loss of your mum, there was this huge hole. And instead of wanting to feel that pain, what it does is it fills, quite literally fills that gap until you can't really feel that anymore. But of course, that's only temporary because then that passes and you're still feeling the feeling. So that's when I would still then give this analogy of it being a crutch. It's holding you up. It's not that you're an emotional eating, as in, oh, it's made me feel a certain way, so I want to eat. I think you, without knowing it, what you're trying to do is replace the feeling that you've got by filling it with food. So it's like a distraction almost. And interestingly, that the book that I'm reading at the moment, it was saying that the point of view of people having past affecting your future is saying, well, what you're doing right now is almost acting to confirm what you believe about your past, rather than it
That
being
was
a
something I had
symptom of your
written down.
past. You see what I mean? So what you're almost doing, and I thought, God, you know, I'm so doing that in some situations. What I'm doing is go, that's right, you are this, you are that. And by almost harming myself through the overeating, I'm confirming my beliefs about that, rather than it being because of what's happened to me that this is where I'm at now. And I think that's what we've got to be really careful of. What it is something which is a vice which is being used to do something else. And that's why I really like this description of it being a crutch, because it is holding us up. It is helping us not feel what we want to feel. It is confirming what we think about ourselves. And that's why I totally agree with you. The work that we need to do is about understanding how our mind is working. And I can see, and I never knew this in myself, I can see this in myself. If something happens which is a trigger, my first thought is to go and find something to eat. Now that's not because I need food, and it's not because I'm addicted, because I've been fine for the last 4 hours of not thinking about it. It's a trigger that then makes me turn to that, because it then makes me not feel those feelings anymore because I've filled myself up with food. So again, everyone is going to be different, but I think that theme is something that we can definitely look at for everybody, is why are you turning to the food, and what is the food doing for you to help you stop feeling? I think that's important.
There's two things that I thought of while you were saying that. So it's almost like not, you don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
So therefore, that's
Avoidance.
one. And the other one is that we've talked about so many times is how you treat yourself and how you mentally the conversations you have in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That both those things came to mind when you were talking about
Yeah, because
that,
if
the
someone, a
negative
friend,
self-talk.
if a friend came to you in a situation where they were feeling the way that you were currently feeling in that moment, what would you do for them? The last thing you would do is get a massive, great something out and shove it down their throat. It just wouldn't happen. It would be so, it'd be put the kettle on and have a cup of tea, or let's go for a walk and have a talk about it, or all of those things that you would offer as support to someone else. The crutch in their situation would be you. You would be their crutch. But then when you're on your own and you've kept yourself isolated and not shared those thoughts or those issues, you then search for a crutch. And in our situation, it's food. And that's what we then turn to. And there are a whole load of things. I think there's also, you can get yourself in a position where you have overeaten a lot. Your stomach actually feels like it needs more. So when you talk about portion sizes and things, there are fallouts from this, aren't there? So when you eat a lot, you want to eat more because your stomach feels like it wants to be eating more to make itself full. So that sort of satisfaction level is harder to find because you are used to eating more. So I think there's that. I think there's an addiction cycle that can be broken
Oh,
with regards to
definitely.
sugar, particularly for me. I'm definitely a sugar trigger person. So I can be fine. I have something sugary and I'm like, now what else can I have? And it's really kicked off that for me. So I think there's lots of things. Do you don't have foods which are like that in the house. So if you have a moment where you feel like you want to turn to food, what do you do? What do you turn to?
I guess, well, whatever I've got, I'll make myself something. But I don't go, I mean, where I live is I'm kind of out in the country. Well, I am. So there's nothing, I can just duck to. I can certainly get in the car and drive, but I don't, honest to God, I don't ever do that. If I'm at home and I'm like, God, I'm craving something sweet, I might make a coffee. I know that sounds lame, but I just find that takes it away. Maybe that's the warm and comforting thing. I don't know. Or maybe it's just the act of putting something in my mouth.
That is the
But
thing, isn't it?
I don't ever go and buy it. Different if I'm out and about, but then I just think, oh, I couldn't be bothered to.
It's
But I'll
weird, isn't it,
make something though.
that trigger of feeling like you need to put something in your mouth to eat to then comfort. So that I think we need to maybe on a separate episode, but think about more, what is it within that nerve sensation that makes you say, yes, that's what I need, because
It's like giving a baby a
a
dummy or a
soother,
pacifier, as they call them here, which apparently I didn't have. But I used to suck my fingers. That was a
It's a
soothing,
comfort. I think the
comforting thing.
comfort that you get from eating something or having something in your mouth, but then it's still got to be a certain sensation, because I don't know about you, but eating some raw carrot wouldn't cut it. I mean, it's not just the physical act of eating, is it? It's what you're eating. So it's got to be, for me, it's got to be something sort of carby or sweet or dense, or something with a bit of something to it. It's not just enough to say that I've eaten something, because if someone said, would you like an apple then? And so that's the
Or
point
maybe
is,
an apple with cheese. That would be in some
still
bread.
wouldn't cut it. Yeah,
No,
the bread
really. Hey,
would. And so I think that's the other thing. It's never about the food, because otherwise it would be just have this, you go, okay, that was sorted. It's not. It's about that soothing. It's a self-soothing situation, isn't it? And that's what it's offering you,
Do
which
you
you
think, what
could.
about greed? Do you think greed plays? Because I think I can be greedy. If I buy a drink, say for example, and I don't do this anymore, but if I buy a drink and just in the next town, it's gone by the time I get home, and here, even in the US, even the small's big. And I just think that's just greed.
I
Because if I'm
know.
eating something, even if it's like something yummy and healthy, and I'd like the taste of it, I just want to keep eating it. Although not so much now, because I've started having much smaller portions, so I find I can't eat as much. But it's also the taste. I often just don't eat, like I won't eat something if I don't like the taste of it and or the texture. I have to do that.
It's got
But
to be
I
something
also
like.
think it's how we perceive food. Like we perceive it as good and bad, and I don't know. Maybe that's come from, and I'm not blaming anybody, but that's what I grew up. I was never allowed to have sweets, as in like lollies, candy, as they're called here, and what are they called there? Because you call
Sweets.
lollies popsicles, sweets. Yeah.
Sweets,
Like I
sweets or
was never
lollies.
allowed to have those. My mum used to bake, so, cookies and things like that. But even that was a bit of a rare treat. But yeah, but and so I don't eat those
Yeah, I
types
don't
of things. But
know.
it was always that good and bad. Like, a naughty, naughty sort of thing. Like
But then
chocolate was
going back to
naughty.
that theory of saying that our actions now are actually just trying to cement what we believe rather than it making it what we are, you're
Right.
an intelligent adult that understands that
Yeah.
that's not it. So actually, it's
No.
really, is that the reason? No, it's not. But what you're
No.
almost doing is confirming what you believe from
What?
then. And so the
Right.
great thing about that is that you have the opportunity to change what you think. Is
Oh, yeah. And I
I'm not
don't
saying that that's
necessarily think that
easy.
now,
No,
because I
but
think
it's
as soon as you say, as soon as you do that, it's like, oh, that's bad. You can't have that. That's bad. Then you want it, right?
But
I
then
don't
we
know.
all do know really what is good for our bodies and what's not good for our bodies. And so
Right.
there is an element of, well, that's bad for you. It's not, there's no hiding the fact that a pint pot of ice cream is not good for you. And so we
Right.
understand that whether you want to have it or not. And once in, a blue moon, it doesn't matter. But it's when that turns into every week or, God forbid, every day or whatever it might be, then you're in
Right.
a situation where it's really, really detrimental to your health. And I think that's the point. If it wasn't harmful, does it matter? Probably not. But it is harmful to our bodies. Our cholesterol
That
levels, our heart
big
health, our
sugar,
mental
or the big
health.
sugar spike, that's very bad. But I'm trying not to view food as that, because I think really at the end of the day, I don't eat much processed food. I think I'm really super hard on myself, and in doing that, it perpetuates the situation anyway.
So, what's your
So
kind of vice then? Is it because you have too big a portions or?
it's mine often is too big a portions. I just like the taste of it. That's just my thing. But I'm having much smaller portions now. And in doing the research for this too, I did read, because I've said before, and we were just talking about it, like I don't keep things in the house like chocolate, because I love chocolate, but not all chocolate. There's just certain types of chocolate that I like. But I read something that said that you should keep things in the house so you can develop a better relationship with them. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I'm being honest with myself in that I have a bit of an addiction problem with food, and especially things like chocolate or pastry. An alcoholic wouldn't want to keep a bottle of whiskey and wine in the house. A drug addict wouldn't think, oh, I'll just pop, the heroin or whatever under the kitchen
In
sink,
case I
and
want it.
but
Exactly.
yeah, no, I just think, no, you remove yourself those things from your home or the place that you spend the most time. If you're at work, you're not going to have a drawer full of things that are going to raise your blood sugar level, going to make you feel bad. Maybe you put like jerky and some carrot sticks in your drawer, whatever, but you're not going to have a whole lot of sugary things in there. And then tell yourself, oh, well, I'm just going to have those there and test myself. Why? Why do that? Anyway, I thought it was interesting that I just read, it was somebody that dealt with food addiction, and like it was a psychologist or something, and she was saying that. And I thought, I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean,
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I think if you're not in a resistant frame of mind, then you're just gonna quite literally be feeding it, aren't you? But
right.
I think that the one of the biggest things is the negative self-talk around it, like you sort of talked about and described. And I
Yeah.
think that's what I've stopped doing. I've stopped
Yeah.
talking to myself and giving myself such a hard time about it. More started to think about why. Why am I doing this now compared to when I wasn't doing it 2 years ago? What is it that's really the trigger for me? Now that I've started to understand as well, without this blame culture of saying, oh, it's because that's happened or this has happened, more with the attitude of, what am I going to do to try and change that for myself? And part of that change will be to then get under control my relationship with food, enjoy food, and enjoy, what I am eating. And it all comes down to a decision-making situation. And as hard as that is, ultimately the crutch is doing something. The crutch of food is there because there's obviously a different issue. And there's no point keep blaming, oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. Well, then the only thing you can do is to change it.
Right,
And
yeah, because if you keep living in the past, you'll stay there, right?
absolutely. And also, if you keep blaming on something else, you've almost shifted that responsibility of what you're doing now to someone else's impact on you. And the only
Take
impact,
responsibility for it.
yeah, of course. And there's people that have been through horrific things, and I understand that. So then you need to get some work done now and some help now, whatever that might be and whatever that looks like, to then make a change. And so that's what I've started to do, is just to not talk to myself with that negative sort of voice, and just be far more accepting and understanding of myself, but getting really honest with myself and go,
Right,
you
being
know what,
honest, yeah.
this is not because I'm accidentally eating too big a portions. This is not because I'm inactive, because I'm not, I'm very active. This is because of these reasons. And if I unpeel all of that, that is because it's offering me a crutch to this. So what am I going to do about it? And I think that's hard. It's hard to be that honest with yourself as well, isn't it, sometimes? Because it's so much easier to blame it on, oh, well, I'm addicted to this, which I am in
Or
some ways. I know
society.
sugar is my trigger for sure. Society, or because portion sizes are too big, or because. It's easy. It's easy to use all of that. And I think it is hard to be honest with yourself, and admitting it to other people as well. If you choose to, you don't have to, but if you choose to admit that, there's a lot of shame around it, isn't there?
Oh God, I think there's a lot of shame around any addiction, really, isn't there?
Yeah.
Hiding and a lot of shame. We've talked about some of the things that we can do to find alternatives to the emotional eating. I've just jotted down a few, is like abandon the diet restrictions. Now,
Yeah.
that doesn't mean you're just going to go hell for leather and eat everything in sight, but just the mentality once again. And it's something that you're going to, when we talk about the mindfulness, it's something that just you're going to have to keep practicing over and over again until you get better at it. And eventually it will get easier. But just being aware of it. And I think savoring the joy of eating rather than just standing at the kitchen sink like I was talking about before,
Yeah.
shoveling food down, like sit down with a book or something. Just, get rid of your phone, forget about that for a while. Sit down with a book. It can even be a cookbook or whatever. Sit down for 10 minutes and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, understand why we eat besides the hunger. And then stop thinking about the losing weight and instead this, I don't know about you, but this helps me a lot. Instead, think about the healthy aspect
Yeah.
of it, getting healthy. I think that to me is a bit of a game changer
Yep.
rather than, and I think that, if you feel you can't do it alone, then maybe go and nowadays it's so easy if you want to see a dietitian, maybe get them to write you out something if that will help you. So, well, okay, this is a good amount of carbs or whatever. And it is hard to follow macros, but, a lot of them will make it so it's easy for people. Or there are people like psychologists that are trained in addiction, food addiction specifically. And I mean, you can talk to them online, and often insurance companies will cover that. And let go of that all or nothing mentality. Like if you have a cupcake or a piece of cake or whatever, don't think, oh, fuck it, I've blown it for the
Yeah.
day. So,
I'll
that's
eat
it.
everything
It's
else. Yeah.
over. Then I'm just gonna, yeah. So that it's just all part of that can be part of just a normal lifestyle is having that, maybe not every day or for every meal, but and again, like I can't stress this enough, is being mindful. Are you hungry, bored, upset? Is it mealtime? Not doing the good and bad with food, even though we talk about the ultra process, like you said, People know if something's healthy,
Going to help you with your health
healthy,
or not.
is gonna benefit. Is it nutrient dense? That's also another way that I look at it, or is it just empty calories? And then curating a lifestyle that's sustainable. We've talked about that a lot. Let go of the past and stop being a victim, and feeling like people have done you wrong, or things that we're taught, you're supposed to clean your plate, all the rest of it. Like, as an adult, you know that you don't have to do that. And also, I think that if you are serving yourself up food, because if it's on your plate, there's more chance that you'll eat it rather than go back for seconds. So, focus on that. And just, really work on building a better relationship with food. And I think that starts, hate saying this, but just being kind to yourself, cutting yourself some slack.
I
That's the
really think
first
that.
place to start. And just, maybe get a little adventurous. I also find, and I know we talk about meal planning a lot, but do you find that helps you? Yeah. So
Because I
you've
think
got
I
the stuff
don't,
in the
because I feel like I
house.
have some structure, and
Yeah.
actually, in those moments when I am then feeling hungry, I don't then sort of panic almost and just turn to everything. And I think, well, I know what I'm going to have. It definitely helps. But all of those things you were just describing there, I think for me, the underlying foundation to that is action. So all of this is going to happen because you've got to do something. So either you've got to make the decision to change, or you've got to reach out for help, or you've got to start meal planning, or you've got to build in some time to work on your mindset and your mental health. And but none of that's just going to suddenly happen when you wake up one day and go, da-da, it's done. You have to take responsibility and action for yourself on every single touch point within your life. And this is one of them, unfortunately. And so it's not going to start until you've made the decision that you're going to do it and make some changes. So, that's
Yeah.
the.
And don't compare yourself to other people doing it, because we all are on our own, little
Oh,
journey,
yeah.
and everybody reacts different to things. Some people can just go, oh, I'm going to stop smoking and will stop. Other people need patches. So it's that sort of thing. Just focus on yourself. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And for God's sake, stop listening to all the bullshit that people are putting out there on the online. I mean, seriously, that's why if you really want some help, don't actually contact like
A
a registered
specialist.
dietitian, a specialist. Don't think, oh, well, Bobby Sue lost 100 pounds and she just, this is what she ate. No, like, cut out carbs and stuff like that. So anyway, I'd mentioned to Sarah, once upon a time, we used to talk about the food that we were making. And I really liked that. And I think that, and I got a good response from people that they liked hearing what we were making. So I said to Sarah,
Let's
let's
start doing
add
it
that
again.
back in. Yeah. So I've got, because I haven't been doing as much cooking. Well, I've been doing a lot of cooking,
But just not
but
for yourself.
I've, yeah, not for myself. I've been doing a lot of making food look pretty. But I can't wait to get back into putting stuff on my website and, really testing out recipes and stuff. So I've got a bit of a laundry list of things that I'm going to be making. But what about you, Sarah?
I've got
What are some
one
things?
favorite dish to share at the moment that I've been making. So my partner is having to follow a FODMAP friendly diet at the moment because of sort of issues with his stomach, and that's made me have to get a bit more inventive with regards to things because there's so many things that you can't have. But we got a really good recipe book, and in there my favorite dish from there is a cod in a tomato and olive sauce. Oh my
I have been
God,
thinking about that since you told me,
it is
and I'm like, I have to make
so
that.
delicious. My friend came for dinner. I served that to her. She loved it. She's also asked for the recipe. So really, really great. And I serve it with some fresh spinach, and then I do some Hasselback
I
potatoes
was
on the
just going to say
side.
that, yeah,
And
because I
oh my
remember saying that.
gosh, it's my absolute favorite.
Can you send me that recipe?
I
I can
certainly
tweak it
can.
so it's not going to be, look like it's from a book. But and the Hasselback potatoes, I think that's just so nice. I have, ever since you mentioned that to me, I've just thought, oh God, I really want to make that.
Honestly, it's my favorite thing. I'd happily have it
Yeah.
every night of the week. It's so
You would, hey?
delicious. Yeah,
Oh,
really. I
yeah. No, I'd
don't, but
like to
yeah.
do it and test it. And then I'll put it on our website eventually. Yeah.
So
So,
that's
yeah,
my
send me that
favorite.
recipe. Yeah. That's it. That's
That's
all you're
it. That's
making.
well, no, that's not the
That's all
only
you
thing,
got.
but I just thought I took my favorite.
You took your favorite. Oh,
Took
okay.
my
You know
favorite.
what I've been craving? And I think when I'm craving things, I need to eat them. In within reason. So, I've been craving like beef, like Korean beef. So I
Okay.
did actually, yeah. So I want to do this isn't Korean, but I want to make like Mongolian beef. Not often it's Mongolian lamb, but I want to do Mongolian beef. I want to make some little of those egg bite things that you make in little muffin,
Yes.
muffin tray. Like, cheese. I just don't know what whether just to make them cheese. Because then I'd have like a little salad with them, but if I was home. But I just want to, while I'm on a shoot, I just want to grab
Just
something
easy,
and
yeah.
just eat it, yeah, with the coffee, so it's super easy. Teriyaki chicken. And just a good bog standard bread. I mean, I love those artisan rustic breads with the grains and everything in them, but just a white, because sometimes you just want
A
stuff
slice white bread.
on slice
Do you
white
still do
bread.
gluten free for you though?
I still have that, yeah. So I mix it up, and we'll have like a just a regular bread every now and then. I just can't eat it constantly. I'm also going to be making, because I've got so many cans of chickpeas. This weekend I'm going to do a curried chickpea, like in coconut. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And tuna salad for my, I want to test out a bread recipe, just a standard white loaf. That's not necessarily in a bread machine. I don't have one. But yeah, and do that and then make tuna salad and put on it. Just because I'm craving that.
That'd be nice. I've had a lot of tuna salad. That's what I've been having for my lunches,
It's good.
actually.
It's really good, high protein. Do you mix it with mayo and
A little bit, but I put in from the supermarket, get these really nice jars of pickled pink onion, sliced
oh
onion.
yeah,
And so then
right.
in the tuna, I put a little tiny bit of that liquor, like the vinegar from
Yes.
that too. Oh, it's making my mouth water with, yeah, really, really tasty. So that's my favorite at the moment for lunch.
Right. Mum used to make, she'd get, because I quite like canned salmon. I'm not a huge, I love smoked salmon. I'm not like a massive fresh salmon fan, but I do like canned salmon. And she would, here, I just find North Americans are crazy about mayonnaise, and I'm not that mad about it. But Mum used to put malt vinegar and really finely chopped onion.
Yeah, I put
And I
spring
loved
onion. Yeah,
that.
I put spring onion in mine
Yeah,
too. Yeah, really
yeah.
nice.
So yeah, that's good as well. So yes, that's the sort of things
Delish, I'm
that
hungry now.
right? Right. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in today. Be sure to check out our website for new posts each week as we dive deeper into each episode. Find links to our Instagram and YouTube channel in the show notes below. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Livoni and I truly appreciate your support. And so until next week, bye for now.